Good afternoon. This is Paul Sigrist for the National Park Service. Today is Thursday, August 23rd, 1995. I'm in upstate New York in Latham with John Flubacher. Mr. Flubacher came from Germany in 1927 when he was 23 years old and was brought to Ellis Island to meet the man who was to pick him up when he got to America. Mr. Flubacher, can we begin by you giving me your birth date, please?
October 12th, 1904.
That's October 12th, 1904. Four. And where in Germany were you born?
Ehringen.
Can you spell that, please?
I-H-R-E-N-G-E-N.
Thank you. Where in the country is that?
That's in the south. It's about 80 miles from Basel, Switzerland.
Oh, I see. South. Can you describe for me what the town looked like a little bit?
And the town lies on a mountain. The mountain is 4 kilometers in square. Four up and four or square. It's named Kaiserstuhl. Before, you know, in the olden times, when the Kaiser, one Kaiser was killed.
When he was killed.
Yeah, up there. And it shows the stone up there. Yeah.
You mean like he was beheaded?
Yeah.
Huh. Can you describe for me what the town looked like when you were a kid?
Well, it's nice house, so it's clean.
What kind of buildings did it have?
Well, they're all close together, all buildings. And before, 1,000 years ago, they had a wall around it.
So it's an old town.
And I think in 27 was 1,000 years.
Wow. Can you describe for me the house that you lived in when you were a child?
Well, in the front was the parlor and dining room and kitchen. And then we had
and a bedroom.
Two bedrooms. We were sleeping one and one bedroom upstairs underneath the roof. You know, the roof got shaver roofs.
Shingle?
They made out of brick stuff.
Oh, like a tile?
Yeah, tile. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, and then there's the barn. And we were living on the grapes. See, we make wine, and in the fall we sell it to the restaurant. To the restaurant and they use it.
How did you heat your house?
The heating was with wood. It's an open fire and a stove, a big stove. Three feet long. And 2.5 feet wide. And we bake even in that oven, the bread, our own bread. We gave once a week, the mother baked the bread.
Excuse me, we're going to pause just. Okay, we're going to resume now. You were talking about the bread that you baked in the oven.
Yeah.
Who made the bread in your family?
The mother.
Your mother made the bread.
The start in the. The evening before, they put in the flour a baser with the yeast on the small forum, right in the forum. There's a big drawer where she worked on it.
And then what would she do with the dough?
She had another kneader. And then she raised it once. It'll come up in the whole body, Then she break it apart. The figure was about 3 pounds. Well, this used to be generally 12 loaves. She had six egg, double often, you know. You could put the six on top and six on the bottom. But that had to be all cleaned out, the wood and the ashes, everything had to be cleaned out, and when the oven was hot enough, it, in the shade, about 2-3 hours in it.
And what kind of bread was this?
That was made from wheat bread. White bread. But the milling was 80 or 90%. They used, and only 10% is waste, but they go on the shell, you know, that's from the seeds.
On the wheat.
On the wheat.
Yeah. What other chores did your mother do around the house when you were a child?
Oh, she had to go out in the field with us.
What was growing in the field?
The grapes.
Oh, the grapes. Oh, I see.
The grapes.
They were your family's grapes.
Yeah.
Oh, what kind of work did you have to do?
The grapes were on the mountain. You couldn't plant anything else there.
Do you remember what kind of grapes they were?
Well, Riesling and Alpen, Muscadel. What else? Well, some red ones like they use here too. That's what they call them here.
Can I help you?
No, they grapes.
And what time of the year did you pick the grapes?
October.
And then what would you do with them after you picked them?
They're going to be squeezed out. Well, crushed through a mill, had them turn the mill, and just squashed. And they stand 2-3 days as to start to ferment. They got to ferment a little bit. And then we press them out and put them in big pails of iron. When we had to clean it, we're inside with a big brush, with a big handle on it. And the other brush, that was a job.
And how long did they stay in the big vats?
Till about in January, December, sometimes coming already. By that time, it's settled. The thick stuff settles on the bottom, the bell. When we throw it off, the clear stuff comes off the vine. Then they put it in small bells and have them on a truck with couple of horses on it. Some of them have 4 horses on it.
And do these pails have tops on them? That you transported the wine in? Did it?
No, they're big bells, like a 55-gallon bell.
Oh, big.
That big.
Did your family keep any of the wine?
Oh, yeah, sure, we live on them. We drink 9 o'clock in the morning, we drink a glass of wine. And 12 o'clock, we drink another glass of wine. We take the wine with us in the field.
And how much of the wine did your family sell?
Well, we sell it in the Omen. Omen is 150 German liter. So the Omen, one is got 25 ohm, the other one has 36 ohm, and the other one is Omen. Six Omen. So that's 2, 4. Six fell in the cellar.
So you sold a lot of hay.
Oh, that's how our living is.
What other kinds of food did you eat when you were growing up in Germany?
Well, the living is we raised two and four pigs. Two we kill and two we sell.
Did you kill the pig? Yeah. How do you kill a pig?
You hit him on the head. First you bring him out of the stair and hold him on the leg. And then you hit him on the head. Then he cut the throat. It saves the blood. Or the blood is make bologna. It's a special man who works in the town. I had my oldest brother, he was one of them. He makes bologna, all kinds of bologna. Bratwurst, blackwurst, blutwurst.
How is that made from the blood? What do they do to make the bologna?
The fat from the rib, under the rib here, you cut that up in small pieces like that and mix it up with the blood. And then we cook it. That's it. The inside, the liquid, gets solid. You can hold them for 6-8 months. They're all good.
After the pig, after you had sliced its throat, then what did you do with it?
Well, then you cut it in pieces, all small pieces, the leg, the all four legs, the sides, the ribs. You be laid in a container, a wooden container, with salt, brine, and I don't know what the word is for the other stuff. You know, it's got to be brined. And then it lasts 2 weeks in the brine, and then it goes 4 weeks in the chimney where the smoke goes through, gets smoked, and that's cured. That holds. Don't go bad.
And so your family would kill two of the pigs.
Two.
And how long would the meat last for the two?
Well, that's I have to last a whole year.
A whole year, so.
Yeah. With one pig in the fall and one in the spring, separated. Then, when we have got no more, not much meat, and on a Sunday, you get the beef. The mother went to the butcher and get beef.
Only on Sunday?
Only on Sunday.
And how would she prepare it?
She makes a soup out of it. She makes her own noodles. You cut it, very small noodles.
And that would feed the whole family for Sunday.
For Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, you get the vegetables. We raised that ourselves too.
So this was a big farm that you lived on.
No. It's right neighbor is another house.
The houses are close.
We had to go out of town.
Oh, I see. I see. You lived in town where everything was closed.
Everything is closed up.
But your land was out.
The house, that far apart mostly, between houses.
Oh, I see. I get it. What was your father's name?
Johann Jakob.
And how do you spell Jakob?
J-A-K-O-B.
And what did he do obviously he worked his farm.
He's on the farm.
What do you know about his family background? Did you know his parents?
They weren't living yet. They had four girls and three boys. And they all... The women, the girls, lived all 90, over 90 years old.
These would be your aunts.
My aunt, yeah. One was over here in Troy.
What was your father's personality like? What was he like as a person?
Well, he was a good guy. He's telling jokes. So. Well, we were working, you know, and then clean out the grapes. Yeah. It's only hand for it. He's telling jokes. And going through.
What was your mother's name?
Christine.
And her maiden name?
Mitzker.
Can you spell that, please?
Mitzker.
And what was your mother like as a person?
She was nice.
What did she look like?
We didn't know anymore. You know, we didn't see nobody else.
So you're
working together in a whole week long.
And the whole family worked
together.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had three brothers and only one sister. Yeah.
Can you name
and
everybody?
I was the youngest. Yeah, the oldest one was Fritz. And he was over here too, once to visit when he was 80 years old. He visited me. And the next one was killed in the First World War. The war stopped in November, the 18th of November, and he got killed the 31st of October, the last shot. And the other brother was over here and was a beggar.
What was his name?
Adolf.
Otto. And your sister's name?
Christine.
Christine, named after your mother.
Yeah.
Is there a story that you like to tell about when you were children with your brothers and sister?
No. We eat supper in bed.
So it was, what time would you go to bed at night?
Well, we probably eat about 9 o'clock, and then 10 o'clock we go to bed, and 4 o'clock you got to get up again to go to work.
Tell me about how you already told me about your brother who was killed at the very end of World War One. How else was your family affected by the First World War?
Oh, we had enough to eat. The only thing is we had to buy was salt and sugar. And now they come out here and don't eat any more salt. And my mother used to say, if we only get salt, we can make it without sugar. But we had all the vegetable all there.
Where would she go to buy the salt and the sugar?
Grocery stores.
Was your family affected in any other ways by the war? Was there fighting near where you lived or anything like that?
I come only 4 miles from the Rhine. 8 miles, kilometers. That's less. And all the army had to walk through the... When they came from the city, they had to walk 20 miles in the war, the First World War.
So you saw soldiers?
Oh, yeah.
Anything else that you remember about the soldiers?
And we had the soldiers with the horses. And they had to go from our town over the Rhine River and control the line.
You said you had a brother who fought, obviously. Was he the oldest?
The oldest one, he was in the Russian. He was a prisoner from, where was it now? Well, only about 3 years he was prisoner. And then the fall was in Russia, the trouble started. In Russia, He was working on a farm in Russia.
As a prisoner, yeah.
And they gave him some food and he had to walk a whole week. He had to come home. And then he had bad teeth. All the others what Ben came back, they had to go on the west front and he didn't have it. He had to have the teeth fixed. That's why it saved him. And otherwise, probably he would have been killed too.
Yeah. What about, did your father have to serve during the First World War?
No, he just made it a year. I made the same thing with the draft here.
The Second World War.
Second World War. I think the October started October 1st when I was born to 12th. So I didn't have to go. Well, I had three boys anyway. Man, that's we need you here. I wasn't working in the bake shop.
Tell me about religious life in Germany. What religion were you?
Oh, that's Protestant.
Protestant Lutherans?
Lutherans. Yeah.
And tell me how you practiced your religion at home.
Yeah, well, my church walking.
That was Mrs. Flubacher for anyone listening to the tape. How did you practice your religion at home?
Before we eat in the evening, not in the morning. In the morning, not everybody eats together. But in the evening, when the real meal, the mother said a prayer.
Do you remember what prayer that was?
Well, they thank them for the eats that we can eat.
Can you say it in German for us on tape?
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe it'll come back to you if you don't remember it right now. What about...
And church. We had to go every Sunday, we had to go in church.
Tell me about celebrating Christmas, for instance.
Oh, that's 4 days.
Yes. How did you celebrate Christmas at that time?
The Christmas trees had been planted that evening, on Christmas night, and then they decorated. But when we were small, we had to go to bed. Then in the morning, the Christmas trees was all decorated. But when we were older, then we helped the mother set it up.
And
all she made, apples, what she made, handles with the lights, not electricity.
Was there a special meal that was associated with Christmas?
No.
We were talking about... We're going to pause just for a second. Right, we were talking about Christmas when we paused. And is there a Christmas present that you got that sticks out in your mind?
I was 8 years old. And I got it from my uncle from Mannheim.
From Mannheim.
Yeah, that's a big city. He was a baker, and he brought it out. And I learned that thing for myself. Nobody teach me. I played it on the girls and the boys there dancing on the street. Well, I play with that thing.
Do you remember what tunes that you played on the harmonica? What songs?
Mostly waltz. Waltz and Schottisch. Name of the dancing. That's a waltz and Schottisch and Schieber.
Schieber?
Yeah, Schieber.
How do you spell that?
It's mostly walking.
And how do you spell Schieber?
Sheeper means S-C-H-I-F-P-E-R.
And that was a type of dance.
Dance.
Yeah. Can you hum any of the tunes that you used to play?
Maybe it's hard to start the whole thing.
Okay. It's hard. Well, maybe it'll come back to you later. Tell me about school, going to school when you were a kid.
We had to play every day.
Tell me about school. Where did you go to school?
Oh, we had two schools, one in the north from the town and one in the south. The one in the south that just built in 1911. And we were 121 in my class when I started in first class. Was two classes. The next year, well, I had more yet, and they had to make three classes.
And what kinds of subjects did you learn in school?
Well, it's mostly arithmetic and writing, or schönschreiben, exactly the form make, exactly, not different molds. They had to stand between the lines. They were strict on that.
Is there a teacher that sticks out in your mind from back then? Do you remember any of your teachers?
Well, you only get it one or two years. Then you get always another teacher. Well, one of them, he was a Jewish religion. And he was teaching geography, you know, the map from Germany, and we had to go on the wall, and he said the city, and we had to point it out where it is, and we didn't get it, but the boys he hit on the legs, and the girls he punched the hind. That's the only one that teacher.
Could your parents read and write?
Oh yeah.
What languages could they
school,
speak?
German.
Did they speak any other language?
In school you have to learn German. In your home, you got the slang that stays thousands of years. That stays thousands of years back.
So there are two different kinds. So, I mean, there's the German that you speak and the German that you learn how to write and how to speak properly, formally.
The school was set up in 1911 to learn everybody the same sound.
So there wouldn't be these differences?
There wouldn't be any difference anymore. 1911. It started at.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you knew about America as America when you were a kid. Perceive America when you were a kid.
Well, we weren't talking about my uncle. Yeah. And
right?
Yeah. And my brother, well, he was working one winter in the butcher shop in Freiburg, in the city, and so he got a little bit city talk, you know, the high tone talk. So he heard that he my uncle is in America, and he makes good. He had a big shop, you know. Well, he learned the back shop over in Germany when he came over here in 1976. Or 1876.
Yeah. So he'd been here a long time then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did you want to go to America?
Well, in we had bad years. 3, 4, 1910, 11, 14, then the war started. But bad years, we didn't get nothing. And then 1 year, 1915, we had a bad weather, hail. And what cut all the leaves off from the grapes. They couldn't grow anymore, you know. The leaves is too long from the animal, like an animal, the lungs. If you haven't got the leaves, they couldn't live anymore. So the whole year, we didn't get no grapes. That was bad. That's why my brother go. Then he wrote that he very good. He worked right away in a big shop, and he liked it.
What year did your brother come?
24.
He came in 24.
Yeah.
And did he come here to Troy?
Yeah, that's where my uncle and my aunt lived here. No, the sister from my uncle lived in Troy too.
I see.
Well, first the uncle let her come over in 1907. She was, too many people in the house. You only get so many you can feed. That's all.
When your brother came in 1924, what kinds of things was he writing back and telling you about America?
Well, he met, that was good. He met right away a lot of money. I heard one time he wrote that he $54 a week. That was a lot of money.
Can you talk?
When I come over, they only get $10 and $12 a week as a beggar.
Can you talk a little bit about the inflation that hit Germany just after World War I?
Oh, that was a bad thing too. Every day the markets went down, and then the trouble starts with politics, you know, the working people against the middle people. It's a revolution. It was a revolution.
And how much would things cost then? I mean, how did that change?
Within 2 years, it's from which I ate a loaf of bread was maybe 20 cents, and it's over $1 million, million marks.
Did you have to carry all
the money?
Yeah,
all the paper money. Well, we didn't get any. I had any money.
Well, tell me a little bit about your decision to come to America and what it was like to get ready to go.
Well, on account of my brother wrote so nice, and I went.
What did you have to do to get ready to leave? How did you get your papers?
I had to go to the fish, to the mayor of the town to get the papers, forms. I'm a farmer, and then I had to go to Stuttgart, be examined, all the questions there, and what they want to know, if I'm sick or anything like that. Then I could go.
Did you have to have a physical examination from a doctor? before you left? That was in Stuttgart.
That's in Stuttgart, the American doctor.
How did your parents feel about you leaving?
Well, they were glad to go. Yeah, I had another brother yet and a sister.
Oh, did your sister come over too?
No.
So they, I mean,
they took over the land, you know.
Your brother and your sister took over the farm lands. Yeah. I see. What did you pack to take with you to bring to America?
You know, the shoes, I wore them for about 10 years. My aunt says, did you buy any shoes yet? I said, no. Then they went and bought a pair of shoes. The size was 7. And she says, dude, that's too tight. It's too tight. And I said, oh, it's all right. It's all right. I like them tight. And from home, they had all, that's all I had, clothes. A suit of clothes for Sunday. That's what you get home. You get a Sunday suit when you, as soon as you get or come out of school with 14 years. And then the working said a couple of pairs.
Was there an object that you brought with you? A thing that you brought as something to remember Germany by?
No, nothing. Not even. I had 20 marks when I came over.
Did your parents give you a dinner or anything?
They had nothing, no.
Do you remember saying goodbye to your mother and father?
Yeah, and my father was in bed with a sprained ankle. Then he said, you should stay here. And I had the $400 that I paid for the ship.
Is that how much it cost? $400? Where did you travel to get the ship?
To Bremen.
You went to Bremen. How did you get to Bremen?
With a train. The train goes all the way to from the south to north. What do you call it? A fast train.
Like an express train?
Express train, like that.
Were you traveling alone? Were you by yourself?
Then, yeah.
Does anything stick out in your mind about that train ride to Bremen?
No. The only thing then, when we came to Bremen, it says the ship goes a day later. And if you want to go, you can take a ride, of course, with a bit of show boat, you know, with go through the channel in Bremen, you know, that channel coming into Germany. Yeah. And that Bremen, Hamburg, and what's the other city? All the ships land.
Bremerhaven?
Well, Bremerhaven, that's it. Oh, that's one in the east. I forgot the name of that one.
Did you have to stay overnight in Bremen before you got
on
the ship?
Oh, yeah, then we had 3-4 days.
Oh, what happened during those 4 days?
I didn't know. I went with another guy walking around for 2 days.
Just sightseeing.
Sightseeing a little bit. And well, a boat ride. I remember that one. That was nice.
And that was just like a little tour on the boat.
Yeah, but this was a big boat. There must have been 200-300 on it.
What was the name of the ship that you got on to come to the United States? The Stuttgart. And describe for me where you slept on the ship.
It's 2 beds in it. and one on top of each other. And where is only in there.
And who was in there with you?
Another guy from, I don't know where he came from. But he, I don't even know which, where he went.
What sticks out in your mind about the trip across the Atlantic?
Oh, it was tough. The fish, when we came out of Bremen, we go through the channel between France and Germany. It was awful. The boat rocking. Everybody was throwing up.
All throwing up.
And that was the first day. It was awful.
Did you get seasick?
Yeah.
Was that had you been on a large ship before?
No, not even seen one.
Well, how did you feel about having to get on a ship like this?
Well, it must have been natural, I don't know.
How long did the ship take to get to New York?
11 days.
11 days.
11 days.
Did anything happen during those 11 days that sticks out in your mind?
No, it wasn't bad. The rocking wasn't bad. But it rocked. It lifted the propeller in the back.
Uh-huh.
That comes out of the water.
Oh, because the boat was lifted right out. Yeah. Uh-huh. Did they have safety drills on scene?
Yeah.
In case there were an emergency?
Yeah. They got the safety boat on the side, hanging on the side.
Do you remember how many smokestacks the Stuttgart had? That's a tough question,
two.
I know.
I know it was two.
Two?
Yeah, that's about all, I think.
Well, now you said you arrived in New York in the very early morning.
Yeah.
And explain to us on tape what happened, why you ended up at Ellis Island.
I don't know why that they brought us to that landing spot.
And what happened when you got there?
They called me by name, that man who had orders from the company to bring us over to New York City to the railroad station. What do you call it? Where the train stopped? No.
The depot.
Depot.
So they brought you out there, and then this man came to meet you.
Yeah.
Is it just you alone, or are there other people?
No, the fellow from Syracuse.
And
when he had a job before, brought some before on a trolley car. Trolley car. What he had over there? Had arrangements. Made, we're all there, you know. You only could talk German. You had to talk to somebody.
And it was very early in the morning, you said, right?
Yeah.
4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Did you have your luggage with you?
Oh yeah.
Did anything else happen there that you can remember? Were you examined or asked questions? Anything like that?
The only thing was we had a pear tree in our garden, and my mother gave me 10 pears. So on the boat I ate 2 or 3, 4, I don't know, more. Anyhow, they found the pears in the examination, and he threw all the pears out. That's the only thing I remember.
Can you describe for me what the man looked like that you met, who was going to take you to Troy?
Oh, he was a pretty stout man. He was a little, about a foot taller than me. Well, I was only little. Yeah, but he could talk German. He could talk German and English. I think that was in the transport in the $400 that they that we had put together. On account my brother he couldn't take work off and throw here as a beggar. He don't know when that boat came in, you know. So he let it come through them, that extra man who helped them, who organized which was set on the train anyhow.
So you meet the man at Ellis Island, and then he takes you off the island.
Off the island.
Yeah. And then what happens?
Put me on the train. And I think it was late in the afternoon. We landed in Albany. And my brother was there with his car already. 24 Ford touring car.
A 1924 Ford touring car. Uh-huh.
And then I gonna turn the right away. There. I wanna turn it around. I did too.
When you first got to this country, did you see anything that you had never seen before? Anything that was very new?
Yeah, sure. Everything was new here.
But something that sticks out in your mind as being very, very different than what you were used to seeing.
Mm-mm. Only the dirt laying around the thing that was different. Garbage laying around.
You didn't see that in Europe.
Mm-mm.
Describe for me where your brother took you when he picked you up in the Ford touring car. Where did he take you?
Well, he couldn't take me nowhere else. He didn't bring me home, and I was staying there for.
Can you describe what where he was living for me?
He had a 2-bedroom apartment, and. He didn't need a car. He lived on top of the hill in Troy, and he worked on King Street. Was a big pie shop. So he didn't have his car in the garage. Just on a Sunday.
Did your brother learn how to be a baker in Germany?
No, he was a butcher.
Oh, that's right. This is the brother that made the bologna?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I see. Well, tell me about the first job you got when you got here. You're 23 years old.
Yeah, right? All right. I was supposed to be coming over on a farmer education to work on a farm. So there's a friend of my brother's. He had a second-hand store on King Street there. He took me to a farmer in Brunswick.
In Brunswick, uh-huh.
They had 50 cows, and I was supposed to milk out the 50 cows. And he said to give me 50 cents a day, and he can sleep and board, sleep there. And then that man says to him, he ain't gonna work for 50 cents. I gave him $1 a day. And he took me back. And I worked with him now, maybe 2 weeks, cleaning furniture, the stoves, clean stoves, and repair them. Like that. And then there was a place, the big shop, died. And they asked me if I would help in the big shop. And there I was in the big shop.
And this is the same bakery that your brother is working in?
No.
This is a
different one.
Tell me how you learned English.
Well, I went in school, night school, first. First 2 years. And then she wanted to know arithmetic. She wanted to find out how much we learned over in Germany. I got mad at her. You don't have to know that. I didn't go anymore.
Do you remember what the first English word?
But I worked all alone in the bake shop then. See, I didn't have no conversation in English.
No one to talk
to. It took me a long time to get the English.
What were you doing in the bake shop? What were your duties?
Well, they make all kinds of baked things, from pies, cakes, cupcakes, muffins, all. You didn't hear that. Bread, because of rye bread. That was a big thing.
So you said you didn't have a lot of people to talk with, to speak English with. Do you remember your first English word?
No, that was no. I learned that word at home already. My father used to say, I like you. Yeah, that's it. He had that over home already from a friend of his. Was working here in America, and he came out, visited there, and he talked. They talked to each other. That's the word he used to say many times.
Now, did you become a citizen of the United States?
5 years.
5 years.
You had to wait 5 years.
Can you describe for me what it felt like to become a citizen?
Well, I was a little bit confused too. I got my fella friend. He couldn't go. So he says, I know a fellow who knows it, different politics. And I didn't like it either. But I went through it. Yeah, he was a Democrat and I was supposed to be a Republican. But I didn't vote yet, But I was a Republican, that's what they tell me. When you had to vote, you could vote after that.
Did you miss Germany while you were here?
No.
Those first couple of years?
No. Mm-mm. Wife, she missed it. She many times she's crying.
When did you get married?
1929.
And
December.
Tell me how you met Mrs. Flubaum.
She went in the same school, only a different class. She was a year younger than I am.
So she was from the same
you
town.
You know everybody. Yeah. My brother had the same, a girl from the same town. He had her come over.
What is Mrs. Flubacher's name? What is her first name?
Louise.
And what's her maiden name?
Metzger. Kiss. This one. Kiss. Kiss. Just like
Kiss. K-I-S-S. Yeah. And did you bring her over to the United States?
Yeah. Well, she paid for it. Well, her father paid for it.
Did you meet her when she arrived?
No. I sent my aunt down to New York, get it down there. On account they said at that time, when you meet her for right away, they make you get married on the ship before you get on the land.
Did she
like to go.
Did she have any relatives here in America other than...
Nobody.
Nobody. Huh.
Still had nobody. Once her brother wanted to come over, and he was supposed to go on a farm and raise chicken. When it goes through the paper, it says, your sister was coming over on the farmer visa, and she didn't go on the farm. You don't go on the farm either. They wouldn't let him come. So she's the only one.
And you said she didn't like America when she got here.
Well, she went then to work for a family where the wife is upstanding from a German family, so she could talk a little bit German to her and give her instruction what to do. And then we got married right away and then stayed home.
Did you have any children?
There are three boys.
And what are their names?
One is John, Otto, Fred, and Ronald.
So John, Fred, and Ronald.
John.
Fred and Ronald.
And all three retired already.
Have you ever been back to Germany to visit?
Only since, in 58, the middle one was in the army here, and they sent him over in Germany. He was stationed in Germany. So then I went and see him. Then when I retired, I went three times.
Did you go back to the town where you had grown up?
Yeah.
How did it feel to be to see your town?
It's awful. Well, it was better, you know. The streets were black tops and all like here. Before was all a roof, you know. But clean.
Did you have any relatives left over there?
Oh yeah, I still got the but. I would say about 10 cousins that are living over there, yeah. All from the women, the aunts.
Well, what do you think is German about you? What aspect of your personality do you think is the most German?
Well, I think when my father sell the wine, or he put it in the bank, I don't know. I didn't know nothing. I get maybe 50 pennies on a Sunday to have a pretzel and a glass of beer.
But what about you now is German? What's the most German thing about you now?
Oh, since the last time I was out there in 84, different. Yeah.
But you're a German man. What things do you enjoy in life that make you German? Do you understand?
Well, I took over right away to American.
Do you think of yourself as
American
or as German?
Right away, sure.
Yeah.
No German. Don't want to go there. You know, that can't figure out all the houses are all built together.
It's
and
different.
We had to go with the work outside the town. Just half an hour to walk to the field.
It was a harder life.
Yeah. It was hard. Hard working.
Well, Mr. Flubacher, I want to thank you very much. We've been talking for an hour.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for letting me interview you for the Ellis Island Oral History Project. This is Paul Segrist signing off with John Flubacher on Thursday, August 23rd, 1995 in Latham, New York. Thank you.